And he that is that Lord of hosts, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. So what is the poet, the prophet now saying? He will destroy in this mountain, so that is in the house of God, that is chiefly under the preaching of the gospel. And then what will be destroyed is a covering cast over the people, a veil that is spread over all the nations, two expressions, and they point to the same thing. And we read even the face of that covering. So when you have that covering, that veil, then you see nothing but that covering. You cannot penetrate. Can also be a figure of speech that in this mountain the Lord will destroy the covering of the face that is then cast over all the people. Comes all to the same thing, congregation. But what does it now mean? What is it now experimentally? Because that word destroy means to swallow up, that nothing of it is left anymore. What does the Lord now do in the way of conversion? How does he now begin to work conversion in a soul? Then he uncovers unto such a soul that there is a veil, that there is a covering. And that veil he is then going to remove. And what is now that covering? Ignorance. That is blindness. Because of by nature we have no true knowledge of God. We do not know who he is. Nor do we know any spiritual matters. We have no understanding in our heart. Because spiritual things must be spiritually understood. The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, of the Spirit of God. And now that covering, you say, of course, that is over the face of all the Gentiles. And that was true, of course. But you read in Corinthians also that the apostle speaks about a covering over the eyes of the Jews because they did not recognize and acknowledge the Savior. But when the Lord now comes with his grace, then I begin to know that that covering is there. And when the Lord swallows that up, and that can go more slowly, that can go quickly, but when the Lord destroys that covering over our eyes, then I begin to see God. Then I come face to face with the Almighty. Then I come to know something of his glorious perfections, righteous and holy. Good doing, long suffering, all knowing, everywhere present, almighty. Oh, then I come to know who God is. Ah, and you see that immediately in the way of conversion, because when the Lord came in the heart of Saul on the way to Damascus, he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then the covering was removed, and God was holy and righteous, and he was guilty. And you hear it in the 3,000, "What must I do to be saved?" They do not know it anymore. That is knowledge that is then taught, because that covering is removed, congregation. Oh, then you hear that sad crying, because I am guilty and the Lord is righteous, and then death is coming and eternity is close and I cannot appear before God. Oh, then the Lord shall cast Then the Lord shall swallow up that covering, destroy it. But that means, when I stand there guilty before God, then I have to die forever as well. You know what the fruit is now? When the Lord comes and removes that covering, that veil, godly sorrow that worketh a repentance not to be repented of. Then I bewail my misery. Then I begin to cry after God. Then I end up in the darkness for my own soul. Then I realize that I do not see any way of salvation anymore. You know, then there is a covering that is not yet removed, and that is a token of sorrow, a token of mourning and grief. You see that in 2 Samuel 15. When David is fleeing out of Jerusalem on account of Absalom's rebellion, then we read that David's head was covered and he went bare feet. And as they were weeping, the people also weeping with them had their heads covered. So that is a token of that mourning and of that grief. And then you see it. Also in Jeremiah 14, there was no water and there were no vessels. And then the prophet writes about it. Then the people were ashamed. They were confounded and they covered their head. Oh, may I just ask it, are there now those who had that first covering removed already? And that you began to see who God is and who you are yourself. But then with all my guilt, I have offended the Lord. I have grieved him. I have smitten him to the face. Oh, then I begin to seek him. Then I begin to cry unto him. And then I weep my sorrow in the dark portions of the night. I cannot die. And see, then I have no hope, no deliverance. I have that covering before my eyes. And I truly do not hear it, cannot see it, and surely cannot believe it. But when it then pleases the Lord to come and destroy in this mountain the face of that covering over all the people, that sinner, and the veil that is spread over all nations, and then this sinner, and the Lord removes it, then I see whom I have never seen before. Then I come to know that there is a morning star. Then I come to know that there is a Son of Righteousness that arises with healing in his wings. And then Christ begins to shine. And again, that can be going on more gradually. The Lord can do it quickly. The Lord is free. But then Jesus is revealed as the Messiah, because that covering is then removed. A Savior who was hidden for the eyes of a people that were quickened from death to life. But that is the way in which the Lord leads them. Oh, and then the Lord removes that veil, swallows it up. Then he reveals that Christ unto me. Oh, then he is the way. Then he is the truth. And then he is the life. Oh, that is now for the spiritual Israel. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. And we shall not enter further into this, but now that veil over the eyes of the people of God is experienced time and again. This is an ongoing, a continual work that is needed in their life. But then moreover, no veil, no covering. We read, he will swallow up death in victory. So what do those people learn? That there is no death anymore. How can that now be, congregation? When the Lord comes and removes that covering and he begins to show something of that glorious light of Christ in my soul, then it is true. Then Christ swallows up death in victory. Then I come to know that Christ came to this earth to die and that he paid the price. and that he also shed his blood as a ransom for many. Oh, then it is a wonder. Because what happens now? When Christ died on the cross, then a veil was rent, was it not? In the temple, that veil that closed off that place where the ark should have stood in the New Testament after the captivity, there was no ark. But now how it should have been, yes, that ark and that mercy seat, then there is an opening. Then there is that access, that new and living way. That veil is removed. Death is then swallowed up in victory, because then the stone is rolled away and that is also removed. And then Christ shows that he is alive forevermore. Then he is the one that was dead and is alive. Then he is the one that has the victory over death, over hell and over the grave and over Satan. Oh, then it is that victory over death. Yes, here, swallowed up. And that is now the king of terrors, and never think lightly of it. But for God's Zion, then this is the victory. This becomes their delight. This becomes their gladness. Because what has Christ now done for all his people? Oh, death, says the poet in prophecy, shall be swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God that he giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see in a few words how much is revealed. Not all God's people know equally much of these things, but that way lies declared in it. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Yes, in that way of conversion, many tears are wept, soul tears especially, and there comes a time that the Lord wipes away those tears. But those tears come back, oh yes. And why? Sin. Remaining sin, indwelling sin. There are so many tears because I have backslidings. I am so barren. There is so much unbelief. There is so much distrust of the Lord. There are so many tears because of the oppression and of the temptations of Satan. There are so many tears because of the sin in the world, in my family, in my home, in the church. But congregation, at last, what shall the Lord do? From time to time he removes the tears here already. But when that people shall come home and shall be led to that living fountains of waters, the Bible says in Revelation 7, also 21, that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then there shall be no more crying. Then there shall be no more pain. Oh, then death shall be no more, for those former things are then passed away. Here in the beginning, yes, but the full perfection that shall come hereafter, and then the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. So, no more covering, no more death, no more tears, and now no more reproach. Because that rebuke, that is the slander, that is the scorn, that is the derision, that is now the reproach that the wicked cast upon God's children, and they receive what their master has received in much greater measure. For the servant is not greater than his Lord, and they shall also have that reproach in their own life congregation. But the Lord shall take away from off all the earth that rebuke. Oh, there are times here below already that he begins to display the glory of his grace in his people. Then he says, then I beautify the meek with my salvation. Then I will show the glory wherewith I adorn. And in heaven he presents his people as that virgin without spot or wrinkle adorned before the Father in heaven. And congregation, then there is one more thing in the text. And we shall not surely forget it, because that is now a precious word. That is such a necessary word, and the Lord knows that. And therefore he has spoken that word. Because there is a people that cannot of themselves believe that these blessings are for them. That is too great. That is unbelievable. That is something that they do not dare to take. Oh, and then the Lord says unto such people, now listen, the Lord hath spoken it. What does that mean? It is not the word of men that we have heard from Isaiah, but it is the word of the living God, who is not a man that he can lie. He is the one that speaks the truth and causes that word to be fulfilled. And if this now becomes true, sighing, trembling people, that the Lord hath spoken it, then it is the word of the King, and that has power. And where the Lord's word has power in the heart, then the understanding is enlightened, and the will is inclined, and then the affections go out in love to that Savior, and you desire to obey him. Oh, the Lord hath spoken it for such people. And what does he then say? You know what he says? I have greatly desired to eat this Passover with thee. Then he is the one from whom the desire goes out. And he works that desire also in the hearts of his people. And he removes all those obstacles. And then they shall experience that he feeds with good the humble soul. And that he satisfies the meek. And that that they shall live and praise the Lord, who for his mercy seek. Are there now such? Are there now such, congregation? Lay it before the Lord. Because you know what is going to take place then in the hearts of such people. The burden of the sorrowful the Lord will not despise. That is a people that is so blessed. When the Lord comes over into their soul, oh, then he hearkens unto their cries. Then he is so good for them. Oh, then it is thy goodness makes me join the throng where saints in the saints in thy favor shall proclaim thy name. When they gather together, and then they desire, and the Lord makes them to join that throng. And then that people will say, and there will I fulfill my vow amid those who fear thy name. Amen.